When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Haldon.
I'm Benjamin Haldon.
I'm quite red today. I'm also just a bit concerned about how red I am. Do I still look quite red?
Not really.
Do I look glowy? I do.
Maybe because the light's on, but that's why.
No, I do. I had a facial yesterday and I've never had one of those ones before, and it's supposed to make you glow so I'm all clean before I go on my trip. I'm going to come back dirty.
Why?
You can't shower. I'm going
to stink.
I do, Ben. That's
where are you going?
Should
we tell everybody?
I shower every day, guys. Sometimes twice a day. I'm going to Everest Base Camp, and that you can wash, but I've just got like shit tons of wet wipes because you wash and then you're cold. I'd rather not be cold. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to wet wipe every area of my crevice.
I prefer to be cold than too hot.
I prefer to be I prefer to be too cold.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you rather die?
I can't sit in that.
Being freezing or die.
Didn't you just say you prefer to be too cold? You said you prefer to be too cold.
That's what I just said, yeah.
Oh.
You said the opposite.
I was only thinking because I can't stand being in that sauna for more than 5 minutes. I think blazing heat would be worse.
You just said the opposite, I'm sure you did.
No, I would like to be cold. I think I could.
You wouldn't
like
to be, you would just.
No, I could. If I had to die from being cold rather than being like too hot, I think that would be me. Comment what you would think, guys. That's actually a really hard question to even come to terms with. I was just comparing the ice bath to the sauna. I prefer the ice bath.
It's not going to feel like that when it comes to death.
Yeah, I prefer the ice bath.
Yeah, I'm just going to be completely on my snooping today. I'm just in a pissed off mood. I'm not going to be in a good mood today's podcast.
I think you can tell by the tone of your voice. That's why I'm extra happy, because you try and bring each other up. But Ben has every right to feel a certain type of way if you want to tell everybody what happened.
Well, obviously, I was just a bit... this is the only time I'm going to speak about it, by the way.
Podcast
I'm not speaking
exclusive.
About it on socials. I can't be all speaking about it. I've had lots of like nice messages and people ask me questions, but this is going to be the only space I'm going to speak about it, because I can't speak about it in 15 or 30 seconds. And then directly before the podcast... I just had not even worse news, but just a load of shit news as well. So if I sound pissed off, it's because I am. But basically last week, me and Cal were in a car crash, a pretty bad car crash. Very, very lucky to walk away. Going down the M53, hit a hydroplane, traveling about 60 miles an hour, were we, Cal?
Yeah, it was around that.
And then all of a sudden, just the back end of my car is where the front end of my car is supposed to be. Span round 2.5 times and then smashed up into the embankment. Following that, I'm on the phone to the police on the edge of the motorway. Look out onto the motorway and there's...
You're on the phone to me.
So I'm
on
the phone
to
you.
I think Cal was on the phone to me. One of you were and then it... Oh no,
I was on the phone to someone. And then look out onto the motorway and then another car has hit the same hydroplane that I've just hit. And comes hurdling off the motorway and probably crashes about 5 to 10 yards away from me and you, Cal, but goes straight into a tree and the guy's trapped in the car. So Cal runs over the car, is trying to get him out. Can't get him out. We have to then get off the phone to the police, they rang the fire engine to come out and try and get him out of the car. It was just a whole ordeal that, you know, sometimes you'll drive past people on the side of the motorway and think, fucking hell, I hope they're okay. We were those people. And that was what was... In the moment, I didn't realise it, but it was scary, the fact that me and Carl were just able to walk out of the car.
Yep. I think, it really could have been, really, I think the one lucky thing, for where you were, there was no, like another 100 metres down, there's like a row of, like bollards, like the usual things inside of motorway.
Yeah.
As in... Do you know, that's all I can say, because it makes me feel physically sick, the thought of, do you know what I mean though? Because then you text me saying, no, I'm okay. I've been in a crash. I was like, Cal, what's happened?
Yeah, because then you were ringing me and it was ringing through to my car.
I didn't know who to call.
I couldn't answer it because it was answering in the car.
You don't know who to call.
So yeah, but loads of thoughts have been going through my head since then in terms like things that could have happened. Like the fact that we just span round and landed on the grass verge and didn't hit a tree, didn't hit another car, didn't hit the bollard, didn't flip over. We were both okay. It was just like someone's looking out for you was the kind of thing that I took away. And it sometimes like gives you that greater feeling or meaning and explore why you're here. And I think for me, it was like we're supposed to both be here to impact the world more than I've died that day because we could have done.
It was quite dicey, in all honesty. And yeah. Ben mentioned something that you drive past these accidents and you look out and you think, God, I hope those people are okay. That is what normal, well-adjusted, nice, yeah. I would say well-brought-up people do. However, while we were stood on the side of the motorway, there was probably, no exaggeration, 40 or 50 people laughing, taking videos, screaming out the windows, beeping on what is arguably the worst day of, I would say, our year, if not one of the worst days of our lives. It's the only way. I'm sorry, I don't mean to use that word.
I think that was an appropriate word to use.
Yes, absolute C words. I'm sorry to have sworn there was any kids listening or anything, but yeah, real awful people doing that.
When you said that as well, I couldn't wrap my head around it because I'm thinking, were they doing it because it's a nice car? Were they being like, hey, like wanker?
Some of them were young.
I
shouted to them, what the fuck are you filming for? Someone's stuck in a fucking car and you're driving past laughing. What are you going to do? Put it on TikTok? Nice one, mate.
Well, yeah, probably.
Fucking this generation in terms of doing shit like that just pisses me off. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
Also, the fact that, by the way, some of these were drivers. So we've two cars just crashed on the side of the motorway and you're driving your car in the wet, filming someone out your window.
One hand, and then leaning over the passenger side to film out. It's the most mental thing. And also people seeing a crash like that and then just blasting off it as soon as they get past the police cordon, just like launch controlling their crap car with awful tyres to just make a loud noise is ridiculous.
Do you know what the other thing about it was as well? And I don't want... This isn't like tarnishing all police officers.
Yeah.
The service that we were given by the police was a fucking joke, by the way.
Yeah.
So the police arrived, after 15, 20 minutes of saying that this guy's stuck in the car. The fire engine was there first. Police turn up and then take a couple of details, look at the car and go, oh, that was a nice car, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a fucking nice car, bell end.
But also, it still is a nice car. It's just in an unfortunate position.
Guys at the fire engine were great. Let us jump in the car because it was still pissing down with rain.
They were fantastic.
Let us make some calls from the fire engine. They went because they had to go to another job where someone had come off the road. So we're still with the police. Police made us stand on the side of the road in the piss and rain. Took a couple of details. And then, by the way, just pissed off. Yeah. Didn't tell us, didn't give us an incident number, nothing. Yeah. Then we were left with a highway maintenance car. I didn't even know the police had gone at that point. Left with a highway maintenance car, weren't told what was going on. Me, Cal, and this other guy who'd just been taken out of his car, we just stood there for about another 30 minutes in the piss and rain, not told anything at the side of the motorway. And then eventually like a pickup truck came to pick up the car and that was it. No police, extra contact, didn't know anything. It was just a fucking joke.
Yeah.
That's also really dangerous because where it happened... Obviously, we're not going to share pictures and videos, but where it happened, bear in mind, someone's just come off and you're stood there. So the chances of another car coming off and hitting you, and there was nowhere where you could go. Like, it was just like bushes.
Yeah.
So you couldn't like stand behind a barrier.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just...
So it was, for anyone in those areas, it was about 50 yards away from where unfortunately, that girl died on the bus.
Yep. In the world.
Mm. Yeah. There's debris everywhere all over the road and I thought it was from my vehicle. It wasn't. It was from where an Audi had gone up, obviously quite recently.
How did you know it was an Audi?
Because it was Audi parts marked with Audi. It was smashed everywhere.
Oh, it said Audi. So obviously someone, you just knew your parts.
There's obviously someone that had gone up there fairly recently because all the track marks on there were fairly new. Mm. So there's three people who had gone off at the same point. But yeah, it was just really traumatic. Didn't really sleep that night. No, Carl didn't because we met up the next day. Just loads of things go through your head. Anxiety through the roof. Yeah, just really scary moment. And then literally just before we jumped on the podcast, had a call from the manufacturer of my car, BMW, and the bill was like 30 grand. So that was just another thing to shit on my day, thinking, oh, it's just the bumper damage. I'll be able to just pay it, not go through insurance, and have all this palaver, and then you just get a shot of that dumped on you as well. So it's just when it rains, it pours.
But you're both fine.
Yeah, I know. That's the main thing.
I really feel like it's a perspective. Yeah, like a car is a car.
I think once you get over that thing of you're really grateful for surviving, it then just becomes about all the really inconvenient stuff that happens following up from it.
Yeah, it didn't really sink in until that evening when we got back to Ben and Lucy's. And Lucy just gave me a big hug and I was like, oh, why she give me? I was like, well, because you could have just
died. Absolutely
died if you went like, and I don't want to talk about that too much.
I was shattered, by the way, the next day.
Oh my God.
I think you two came through the door and I was
think
like,
it's when adrenaline drops. You adrenaline is peaked and then it drops and then you're wiped. Because it's almost like your body's give you all this energy to be able to respond. Because when we were spinning around at 60 miles an hour down the middle of the motorway, it felt so slow.
Yeah.
It felt like I was like trying to wrestle a car back.
Yeah.
But then it was just...
And then we had a very intense, like mentally draining day the next day. I've wiped. Yeah. I don't know about you, Ben.
Yeah, I was so tired.
Cal, know when the car was spinning,
mm-hmm.
I obviously wouldn't have been the good passenger in that situation.
That's why I said the car. I'm glad that you went in the car.
I would have been screaming.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I would have been able to control myself.
Mm.
What did you do?
So I looked over to Ben as it was going. I looked over and saw him trying to steer into it, which is exactly the right thing to do. And then I just really held on for dear life. I realized that Ben would be probably quite shaken up from it. So I tried to put my organized crisis management hat on as quickly as I could. There were two women walking over to us. So I like audio recorded everything they said. I got their name, got their number, got a brief statement of what happened. I started videoing the area. I tried to flag down. Well, then we tried to get in touch with the police. I tried to use what three words to give our precise location. Then when the guy hurtled off in the car, I just kind of, it was kind of stupid to be honest, because if he came off, then someone else could have come off. So me running at him and trying to get him, like check if he was okay, wasn't a particularly bright idea, but.
Well, you had your back to the car before it came up and I saw it start to come off the motorway and he wasn't spinning. So he was coming fast towards us. And I nudged you and said, Cal, watch out. And then you turned round and then it went up into the trees and I thought it was coming back down into us.
Yeah. But then I got to him. He was quite shaken up, but I didn't want to move him out of the car because obviously he had a back injury. Anyway, it was just a bitch of a day, really.
Yeah.
You were both very good.
I was sitting in the ice bath the other day, though, and I think I sent an email about this morning. And the thing I said to you the other day about when things just are really shit in life, it is life testing you. To see how you'll deal with these things, because there's a lot more meaningful things than like a nice car or the inconvenience of a day. And I think it just toughens you as a person to be able to deal with other things. Life is going to throw things at you. Life isn't here just to be a really comfortable ride. It's there to test you and see if you have the resilience to stand up and deal with it. And I think that's what it was, as well as being on top of that, we're here for a bigger purpose to impact the world more. And that's the thing that often makes me think about when I think about situations and scenarios like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very shocking.
There was one other thing I was going to say about it, but I can't remember what it was now. Adrenaline, tired. I mean, the other thing was, I think it was potentially more scarier for Cal because I had something to do. As in, like, I had a steering wheel to try and wrestle, whereas you're just looking at nothing in front. I'm looking at a steering wheel, you're looking at nothing. Just open windows, you know what I mean? I often think about that when people are driving fast when you're in the passenger seat. It's scary because you have no control.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there spinning.
Yeah. And then every time I've been in a car since and someone's done something stupid, like in a taxi and a driver does something stupid, or last night driving home, some arsehole and Aston Martin nearly crashes into me, I just get flashbacks of the arse falling out of the car, spinning. Sounds like I'm dramatizing it a little bit too much, but it wasn't a fun time, everybody.
I guess it's almost a blessing that you know how you span and span again, but span off. If you had spun and were facing, and you were in the middle of the motorway, facing traffic, that would be worse, wouldn't it?
It wouldn't. They would have stopped. They'd all slowed down.
Yeah.
Oh, had they started to slow?
This is the other thing I was going to say, and I don't know whether this is an evolutionary built-in thing, which we spoke about before in the way that women's traits are, but I think it is anyway. I always think in terms of men and women have different innate traits. I think women, and the reason why they often go into nursing and care, is because women naturally have a caring and nurturing trait as being a mother. The only two people that stopped from all the traffic and all the people that passed was two women. And one of the women actually even said, look at all these knobheads just driving past and don't give a shit. Like, we could have been dead in the car and people were just driving past at full 70 miles per hour. Two people that stopped were two women. Both cars, both came over, both legged it over to the car, didn't give a shit like where the car was, didn't give a shit if anyone else came off the road. Their first thought was pull over and see if these people in this car are okay. I think that's a big thing that's innate in women, is that nurturing, caring, sort of motherly instinct. And that's why the two people out of the hundreds who were driving past were women.
Yeah, shout out to Amy Bond and Nicola, two women who managed to come over to us.
Yeah, I've never stopped on a motorway.
Oh yeah, it's very dangerous. Like, yeah. Don't.
I think they didn't think about danger. They just thought, are these people okay?
Yeah. I've stopped on like, just like a normal 40 mile an hour road because an old man's shopping bag had broke. And I'm not good with that. So I just pulled up straight away, like, phew, helped with my shopping. So maybe it is a natural thing that a lot of women just want to help other people.
I think it's definitely like one of those evolutionary things. It's in the DNA for just due to...
We are caring.
Women are natural caregivers. I'm very good at it.
Yeah, we are.
But yeah, that's the first and last time that I'm going to speak about it because... I just couldn't be bothered speaking
about
socials.
Yeah. Shut the box. It's a lot to speak about. I think it's a lot to
I think it's good to speak about it. Even if people don't care about it, I think for me, it's just one of those, I see the podcast often as an opportunity to, as like a mini therapy session to speak about things. I think me and Cal, I spoke about it a little bit, but I think getting things off your chest, as we often promote people to do, is a necessary. And I think that we have this opportunity to do so on here, as well as warning people, especially through the winter where weather's wet, be careful on the road, drive under the speed limit, be mindful of other people, be mindful of the vehicle that you're driving as well. I was driving a rear wheel drive vehicle in the wet, but there's cars that come off the road with just four wheel drive. And even if you're the safest person in the world, accidents can happen to you. So
yeah, for sure.
Breathe.
I just needed a big breath before we continue the podcast. Because today's podcast, we are answering your guys' questions. You always write in. We try and answer as many questions as possible. Myself and Ben have a lot of questions. I think, Cal, did you have a question as well that you said before?
I found one. I'm just looking for a second now. But
how often do you have sex and what positions?
Yeah, that wasn't a question, actually. You guys need to tone it down.
So before we get into them, these, by the way, and this is not a paid ad. Has anyone seen these new monsters, the green ones? These are the sugar-free, zero sugar monsters that they finally brought out. However,
I think it's
psychological because they don't taste that much different to the blue ones. But because the OG, and I'd imagine the one they sell most is the green one. Do you know the way that Coca-Cola started doing the Coke Zero cans red? I'm also speaking to Callie because he'll get the psychological.
Yes, no idea.
They've done the same with this in thinking, that's our OG hero product. So if we make a zero sugar one of it, more people are going to pick them up off the shelf because they'll associate it with that.
I also don't think that they sell that many of the green ones. I think now they will sell a lot more of the sugar-free ones.
I wonder if you can get the split or see the split.
Is it obvious it's sugar-free?
Pardon?
Is it obvious? To me, it just looks like a normal monster.
It's not. It's not obvious. I think they sell more the green ones. If you go to anywhere in America, if you go to most places which aren't gyms and fitness spaces, they're all the green ones.
And a lot of in America, they didn't even sell the blue for you. And you were traumatized.
A lot of space you go to abroad, they sell the green ones only. So maybe that's why they brought them out. Same psychological amount as the Coke.
I don't like it. I don't like Monster.
I do.
You don't
drink a lot of fizzy drinks in general?
No, I don't drink Diet Coke. The only fizzy thing that I drink is a Nocco can before a workout, but I think it's very small. But like I don't understand why you'd want to drink something so fizzy, because you just burp for one, and two, you're just so like gassy.
So I've just looked it up. I can't find Monster because they're a private company. They don't share it. However, low and no calorie in the UK is 66% and regular is 33%.
What's that based on? Coca-Cola?
That's all carbonated soft drinks.
I wonder what the split would be in America.
I guarantee it would be a lot less sugar-free.
Oh my God, completely. They barely even sell them in all the shops. They've got a lot of... Not the... Sorry, I keep thinking that's a full sugar one. What is... How much sugar is in a full sugar Monster?
The thing for these is, though, some people diss them. Imagine, so let's say... I don't know what the actual number of the population of America is of being overweight. Is it like over 50% now of America's classed as obese or overweight? People going about, oh, what about the additives? What about the... Well, what about all that population of America that is overweight or obese? How much sugar, fat, and crap are they consuming every single day? And how much would actually them switching over to a diet sugar-free option if they're guzzling two or three a day actually make a difference? Because it's not the additives such as aspartame, which is just a natural sweetener, causing them to have all the issues such as potential cardiovascular disease in the future, heart problems in the future, diabetes in the future. It's the amount of sugar and fat they are over consuming day to day.
Are they 500 milliliters?
Which?
That bottle.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
So 237 calories, which isn't like anything to shout at home about. 55 grams of sugar?
Yeah.
Sorry, 237 calories is a shitload for a drink.
Yeah.
Not a chance would you catch me drinking 237 of my, so 10% of my calories.
Sorry, but 55 grams of that is sugar. So you are absolutely right. If someone, have a look at your drinks potentially before.
That's what I'm saying. People are banging on about,
zero sugar.
The people who are on TikTok, by the way, banging home about, you've got to be careful with oats. You don't know what they cooked. Mate, what you're talking about, oats isn't making the population obese. Let's focus on the macro first before we start diving in and scaremongering people about having oats for breakfast. Like, let's get a grip.
Do you know what I just did?
What?
I'm embarrassed about this. I googled how much sugar's in the zero sugar one.
Oh my God. Should we finish the podcast now? Yeah.
Zero, but 15 calories and zero sugar.
15
no
cals.
Sugar. 15 cals compared to 257 and zero sugar. Instead of 55 grams.
I think when you just boil things down to common sense, is a diet drink going to benefit you or hinder you? If you don't like diet drinks, don't have them. But having one per day or even two per day isn't going to affect you or have any negative consequence on you. It's potentially going to have a net positive if you're someone who has a lot of sugar anyway, because you're going to reduce the amount that you're consuming. As always, the poison is in the dose. So you're fine having it. I'm not saying don't have a sugary Monster, don't have a sugary Coke. Fine to do so, but... If you're trying to find ways and means to cut things out of your diet, aspartame isn't the thing that's killing you. There's been tons of research on aspartame. You can go out there and find it on Google. We're not going to bang drum home about it today. But most of the people you see and who are potentially overweight walking around with diet drinks are there because they're trying to better themselves with it. Mm.
Some people do have 1 to 2 litres of like full fat Coke a day, don't they?
But the FDA have approved, I can't remember.
Not 2 litres of full fat Coke a day.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the Diet Cokes.
Oh, yeah.
The milligrams per body weight for most people would average out. You could drink about 55 cans of Diet Coke per day before it starts to have any negative consequences, which no one's doing that, by the way. So that just shows how safe it is if you're driving now or you're in work having a Diet Coke and someone's telling you some absolute facet on... Is it facet? No, it's not a facet I'm looking for.
Isn't that a flap?
Flapjack, are you going to say?
No,
we'll call them flapjack. No, it's okay. We'll call them
flapjack. I was going to say flaccid penis.
Okay, we'll call them a flaccid penis. If there's some flaccid penis you're listening to on TikTok, it's drilling home to you how bad diet drinks are. Just to unfollow them or swipe past it because it's bullshit.
You thought I was going to say flapjack. Oh.
Yeah. Call them a flapjack or a flaccid penis.
What were you about to say?
Why are you thinking about flaccid penis when I'm speaking to you on the podcast?
I wasn't. You were about to say.
Who's flaccid penis are you thinking about?
I don't know what flaccid means, Ben.
Soft penis.
You were about to say something and I thought you were saying flaccid, not flapjack. Speaking of... No, we can't talk about that story, can we?
Which?
Which?
The penis.
Which? Oh, God.
Penis in the hole.
The voice note.
Oh, wow.
I don't think we can.
Yes, we can.
Do we think... But we're spreading too much information there, aren't we?
Why are we spreading it? It's everywhere.
Guys,
there's memes about it?
Context.
Are we actually going to play it on the podcast?
No. Okay, so this, a stag and a hen So a engaged couple.
So you're giving it the short run through.
Yes. Went to Amsterdam on their stag and hens, like at the same That's okay, I won't give it away yet, but I had a brainwave. Stag and the hen are on there in the same country. They're in Amsterdam. One of the girls on the hen got really drunk, as you do on hen dudes, you know, casual. And she went to this, like, do we call it a bar? Like an interesting Amsterdam bar, quite like sexual vibes. And there's this, like, I don't know what it is.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, because it's so traumatic then.
And we might as well play it, just get to the point.
You go into a booth, okay, and there's a hole in the booth and it's got like a glass or a curtain or something. And someone on the other side sticks...
It's called a peephole.
Sticks...
Glory hole.
Sticks their willy...
Willy.
Through.
Who calls it a willy?
Because Ben...
What are you, 5 years old?
Sticks his willy through the glory hole and then the girl sucks it on the other side. So for one, what the fuck are you doing? Anyway, sucks the penis...
Do you know when you have like PSHE or something?
PSHE.
Yeah, it's like a 5-year-old giving a PSHE lesson.
Well, all the listeners are very intrigued what's about to happen next. So the girl has sucked the penis, is probably still sucking. And
what do you mean still sucking now?
You can press something which like reveals the person on the other side.
Once you've done the juicy.
Yeah, once you've done it. And...
Both people press it like a blind date.
Yeah, if both people press it. Sorry, I feel physically sick. And she's drunk, you know. You press the button, she looks up and she's just sucked off her dad. Her dad looks down and the daughter has just sucked off the dad and the whole family now is obviously... Stag and the hen leave, obviously. The whole thing is... They leave Amsterdam. This girl obviously tells the mum what's happened. So the dad has a wife and then the whole family are obviously now not speaking because she sucked off her dad.
Put the video on of my reaction because Lucy recorded me listening to it the other day. Kyle, pop up on screen. I'll send you it.
Yeah.
I thought when it was playing, it's
going to
be the stag, which is obviously awful, but it wasn't. It was worse. It was so much. That's so much worse.
It's 10 times worse. Incest is way worse.
But that whole family is ruined now. Sorry.
I said though, how would you not know? I know that maybe you wouldn't put two and two together, but your dad was in Amsterdam
I think the dad knows the groom. I think that's why he was there. That's what I was going to say at the start.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to give it away that it was the dad. Do you agree? I think he may have been part of...
Too, yeah.
So the girl was obviously in the hen. She was a hen.
But also, how would you not have seen them in the club? By the way, this whole story could have been made up by this girl who just wanted more followers on fucking Instagram, by the way.
Yeah, and it's worked because it's wild.
Everyone's speaking about it. Yeah.
How did we get on that topic?
You started talking about flaccid penises.
Flaccid, yes.
What would you do?
Oh my God, let's...
I don't want to go into it yet.
We don't talk about that because you'd never...
You brought it up.
No, you did by saying...
No, I didn't. I was talking about invalids and you started talking about flaccid penis and then got onto the topic of sucking off your dad.
So. We can then, but that was...
Yeah, terrible.
Moving on.
Terrible, terrible story. I just even can't eat... When I first heard it...
I had no words. Your neck dissolved.
Yeah, do you like when the guy on the Men in Black gets his head shot off and it goes tiny and sucks into itself? That's what I was like. My body started swallowing my head.
I don't know if I still got that video. Did I send it to someone?
In a group chat to Steph and Grant.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'll have to find it a different time.
I think it's the first time in a long time I was just shell-shocked for words.
Yeah.
It was probably the only thing that topped the car crash last week. Do you know what I mean? In terms of things... That are, you know, things on your list that you go probably don't want that to happen in life. That was like, yeah.
Do you know what we're going to do? We're going to move on to a question because we need to leave that topic. Again, we shut the book.
Q&A's
on that topic.
What is the lesson learned from that?
Don't be an absolutely disgusting cheating person. Because the girl, I obviously, I the thought.
But that doesn't mean she's a cheat.
No, the dad.
Oh yeah.
The girl's not necessarily in the wrong.
But how do you know the mum and dad aren't divorced?
Then because they're not. So it says it's broken the whole family.
Yeah, but it would break the whole family if daughter started.
Yeah, it would.
Even though they were
regardless
divorced.
Of divorce. Yeah. I hope it's a divorce situation.
I really do hope it's a divorce situation because it's just we don't need to continue speaking about it.
Lesson learned, don't come to the same country as your daughter.
Yeah. Or just don't do that.
I was joking, Lucy. Yeah.
You just don't put your penis anywhere through a secret hole,
Glory hole.
Sorry, that is awful. Oh, come on. Anyone could be on the other side of that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Should we ace some
cues? We have a question from, we're going to really just throw ourselves right in. How to start being performance-based over aesthetics.
Why does that hit you? Oh,
because I'm really trying to not think about that whole situation. Do you know what? That's one of those things that will now live rent-free in everyone's brains. Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome.
That's why I sometimes hang the clips in the gym.
What?
What?
I don't know what that means.
Okay, we'll move on.
Okay. Serious question. How to start being more performance-based over aesthetics? Because it's something that obviously we did. You might have to continue because I need a moment.
I think you have to... The hard thing is when you're trying to move to that is confidence. And what I mean by that is whenever you're trying to do something new, you need some evidence from other people that, do you know what, it's going to be okay if I move away from being aesthetics-driven to performance-driven. You need evidence that other people have done it. You need evidence to back what you're going to do. What I mean by that is if you were taking a strategy to make more money or to make yourself, I don't know, if you're looking at the beauty industry more attractive or whatever it may be, you're looking for evidence that this thing, this product, this service, this program works. That's what you're looking for. Mm. So I'd say go and watch people on Instagram or YouTube who have done the same thing. We've definitely done that thing. Other people, Fergus Crowley, Nick Bear, who else did you throw into that?
Steph. Notty. As in, that is the same person.
Yeah, Notty Food Fitness.
Yellow Runner, she's amazing.
She's not really going for my...
She's not.
So you can take that back.
Yeah.
It's hard to think.
It's actually really quite hard to think.
I mean, I think we're forgetting people, but...
Nick Bear.
I thought he said him.
Said him. Us.
There's definitely loads of other people. We're just being really narrow-minded at the moment. But to go and watch people who like made the switch from maybe being really aesthetic-driven to, say, bodybuilding to doing running. And look at the types of physiques because... Through having performance metrics, you are going to shape your body in different ways. And the good thing about, again, I know we spoke about this a lot recently, is with the hybrid methodology of life is you can scale where you put your training volume. Sometimes if your goal is more running based, you're going to scale to put more running there and your body is going to then follow in its compositional changes to the scale of volume that you've got. If you're going to do something more bodybuilding or strength focused, your body's going to get a bit bigger. It's just where you scale the volume of training to the narrative that you've got set for where you want to be.
I also think as well, what's really important when you go from aesthetics to performance is actually have a performance goal. Like it doesn't have to be signing up for a race or something like that, but to be a bit more performance driven, you look a little bit more into the metrics. So with running, for example, signing up for a 10K run or just setting yourself a goal of a 10K run that you're going to do by yourself in a specific time. So a lot of people, when they do a 10K, they love or want to hit 50 minutes or under 50 minutes or something like that. So it's like, okay, so I'll have to train at a 5-minute pace and you do easy runs and you do tempo runs and you do intervals alongside your lifting. And I think having those mini goals is actually really important to keep you on track because without the goal, sometimes you fall back into the aesthetics and you're very focused on what you look like rather than the goals that you want to achieve. So I would definitely say those two.
And also scale. What I mean by that is don't go from doing 4 bodybuilding sessions per week to doing 1 bodybuilding session and 3 runs.
Yeah.
1, it's going to fuck with your mind a little bit. And 2, it's definitely going to mess with your body because when you're really stiff, the thing about bodybuilding, it's kind of like you're tightening yourself up to be like a spring. You're compact, you're tight, the muscles and the ligaments are tight. You're a lot bigger, you're probably heavier. To then go and do an activity or a modality such as running where there's lots and lots of impact. You're moving your body in a different way. The joints, the muscles have got to move differently. They've now got to move under load. It's now a lot more explosive. There's going to be a lot higher chance of injury, especially with you already being tight. So it's asking your body to do something it's never done before from coming from a position which is compromising the terms of the way it's been trained. So make sure that you scale that process and don't just jump in the deep end with it. And that's why so many people, when especially if it's gen pop kind of people who haven't done a lot of running, they're doing it for charity, go into running events, extreme version marathon, and 70%+ of people end up injured because they scale too quickly.
I mean, also, like you, for example, you're quite stiff. Like you're not that flexible. You're not that flexible and you can't cross your legs.
So?
That's unflexible, but you've been working on it was my point. Like when you were quite like stiff. So, but when you started doing more performance things like running, you started adding flexibility and thing. That's quite a positive comment that you've been working on your flexibility.
I'm very flaccid, to be fair.
You know, Cal, he could not sit cross-legged the other day at the studio, could he?
True.
Like, you should be able to sit cross-legged.
I think me and Ben were just more interested by your terminology of the word stiff. But
yeah.
Okay, do you guys want some questions? I've got some that have come through.
Yeah.
So, do you think your training volume is realistic for someone who works a 9-to-5 job?
Yeah.
I don't.
I do.
I think sitting on the fence, it depends. I don't think you should be looking at anyone else's. I don't think we ever recommend going, you should do this, which is the main thing. I don't think we ever preach, this is what you should be doing. You should be doing as much as us. We have a schedule that we allows us to train more. Like for me, through November, I'll be training twice a day. Is that doable for everyone who's got a 9-to-5 job? Absolutely not. Is it doable for people who've got a 9-to-5 job? Absolutely, because the people who do it. It just depends on where your priorities are and what you've got going on. For someone who's got a family of 4 people, works a 9-to-5 job and has other priorities, such as keeping a home, keeping children, etc., it's probably not doable, but it doesn't mean it's not, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's why I said yes, because it does depend on your goal. If your goal really matters, I think you will do that. I've trained for an hour and a half today, and that could have been done at 6 o'clock in the morning if I really wanted to, but I got up at 6:30 and worked, but I could have trained and then worked. So it is really hard but then for the 100K, that was quite long. That was quite difficult. But people do it.
That's what I'm saying, though. It doesn't, just because something's doable doesn't mean that you should do it.
Mm.
And with this, look at the guy who had a 9-to-5 job who ran a marathon every single day for a year.
Yeah.
There's people breaking down the barriers of what can be done. But that doesn't mean that whatever I always say to people now is, whenever you're making a decision, every decision is a sacrifice. So you going, I'm going to apply the same amount of volume to my day as Lucy and Ben does, will probably mean that you've got to cut out some other things from your life. And for the average person, I say quote unquote average person, who's doing a 9-to-5 job, who has other priorities, to do whatever it may be, so that's maybe not as important to you. And that is absolutely fine. Mm. And that doesn't mean that you need to do it. And you, for your goals and what they probably are, you don't need to be doing 2 sessions per day or doing this much volume. If you've got a goal and you want to go to the CrossFit Games, or you want to win a HYROX, or you want to achieve something that's really hard, you have to do really hard things. But if your goals are to, you want to lose a bit of weight, you want to feel more confident, you want to be more attracted to your partner, you want to be a fit mum or dad who can chase the kids around the garden, that amount of volume just simply isn't necessary. And it's probably too much.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. And I think, with my coach, for example, there's only one program that has a couple of sessions a day. And that's like probably the most advanced program on the app, because we do have a lot of advanced people doing Jake's HYROX program. Absolutely. And that might just be like a little run with an upper body session. But as Ben said, I think what's, I guess, a little bit different is it's our job.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time we're filming for my coach, or we're filming for content, and we're just in the gym for longer. I think if we squashed it down, we could do 60-minute sessions or 45-minute sessions. But I think because when it's part of your job, it's a little bit different. But as you said, you should absolutely not compare yourself to other people in any sense, because everybody's different.
Yeah.
And as you said, if some people have got kids, or like, it might feel very different when we've got kids. We don't know yet.
That's what I mean.
So it might hit us well
not,
different.
We're not speaking from personal experience with kids. Where I say sometimes we're very fortunate to be in the position that we're in terms of the training that we're able to do and when we'll be able to do it. But at the same time, like, I've created this position for myself. I was working shift work in the police whilst also working, probably finishing the police at maybe 6 o'clock at night. And then I would go and work a shift in the office or sometimes 12 midnight. I'd still fit training. That's just because that my goals were pioneered to go towards that way. And that doesn't mean that you need to do it. We're just kind of showing, well, this is possible, but just because something is possible doesn't mean that you should do it. Because what is hard doesn't mean it's valuable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you have your own values of different levels of hard.
Okay, do you want another question?
Yeah,
Cal, because that was really interesting.
Good question. Whoever that sent that in.
Okay, so how do you deal with finding downtime with your business and not feeling guilty about taking it?
We don't. We're terrible. Yeah. We both, even now, I think you're a little bit worse than me.
Well, I was saying yesterday, I think in the business, I probably take the least time off.
Yeah, you do.
I'm not proud of that, by the way. It's just something that I've slipped into.
Repeat that.
How do you deal with finding downtime, but also not feeling guilty about taking it?
I think the one valuable and the most beneficial thing about me and you is we work in the same business and we're very accountable for each other.
That has advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah. Right? I mean, the advantages is if we've clocked off, say, like 6 o'clock-ish, or sometimes it is late depending on what we're doing, but if it's like 6 o'clock and I've gone downstairs, I've started making dinner, like zoning out and zoning down, Ben could be upstairs on his laptop until like 9 o'clock, and I then come upstairs, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, that's not good. We're shutting the laptop. You can do that tomorrow. The disadvantage is if we're both sat there upstairs on our laptops till 9, 10 p.m., we haven't really got anyone to tell us not to do that. But I would say it's a benefit because we have date nights. We book things in. We're like, okay, at 5 o'clock, we are leaving the house and going for a walk. So we kind of set things in our day, I guess, to make sure we have downtime is the best way to say it.
I think the only thing with that is though, sometimes if I carry on working, you feel guilty that I'm doing work and you're not.
Yeah, that really does stress me out quite a lot. I don't know what it is, but I work very, very fast in the day. And we also get up at like 6:30, you got up at 6, 7 and work before 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm not very good at working later on. So I get the swallow the frog in the morning.
You get the 3 o'clock blues, don't you?
It's the blues, I'm just not very productive during that period.
Mm.
Okay. I've got a question.
Go on, hit me.
Do you let Lucy sit on your face often, seldomly, or never? Interesting question. We'll move on from that one.
Do you know what's really weird though? I don't understand. Like, I have loads of questions talking about like sex, and I'm just thinking, I'm not going to speak about that.
Yeah.
So you do you. Why are you asking those questions? Think about yourself. Why are you asking those questions?
Yeah, what do people think? Reflect, I'm going to answer with? Yeah, like I wear Lucy like a woolly hat 3 days a week.
That's really inappropriate.
But I'm just saying, what do people expect me to answer with?
Do you know what it is? It's because I think some couple podcasts maybe do go into quite a lot of detail. But you know what? We are not that podcast.
When are you getting Ross Eddy on the pod? Trust me.
We're trying.
He is like getting hold of the Pope. It will happen. He lives probably down the road. But he
maybe
is just,
we just turn up at his house on like Ross.
I think we just
lad.
Turn up with the mics and we just nail him down.
Yeah.
I think we probably offered him the ice bath and the sauna because he's all about that. He would probably
We should do that. We haven't gone down that route yet.
We'll try and get around for a workout, ice bath and sauna, and get him to jump on the pod. That'd be a nice little day.
Yeah, absolutely. So don't worry, we are trying. But if you do have guests who you want us to get on the podcast, please comment them below. You can do it on Spotify, you can do it on YouTube, because we want to know who you want on our podcast.
Saying that though, we've got... No, I'm just giving hints. We've got one of the guys who's achieved one of the biggest running events, I think, of the year, probably, on the podcast next week, and also arguably one of the fittest men in the UK on the podcast as well. So two really good guests coming up.
Yes.
One thing you really want to buy right now?
Oh, good question.
What you really want to buy?
Yeah. One thing top of your list, what do you want to buy right now? Glory hole? No? Okay, too soon. Okay, sorry.
I think I've bought it.
What is it?
That North Face bag, Cal.
Oh.
I've wanted one for ages.
What, a duffel
bag?
Me,
living in delusional land, thought for base camp, I was just going with the rucksack. And Kyle's going, no, like you're not fitting everything there. I'm thinking, yeah, I am. Like my 40-litre bag, yeah, I am. No. So I've always wanted one of those duffel bags because Kyle was going to kindly lend me his. But I thought, do you know what? That is one thing I've always... So the big, large North Face duffel bag is what I've wanted to buy. And I bought it. Thanks, Cal. But I do need it for the trip, actually. That's not a... You actually... It was on the checklist and I just didn't acknowledge.
Ben, what are you saying? One thing you want to buy right now?
My car back.
Yeah, I was going to say it. If you didn't, it was coming.
Yeah, I think that... That'd be the only thing. I think because I'm such a big car fan, just to have that gone at the moment, and it's like seeing your baby just smashed up. And I'm not a massively materialistic person, but my car is like my baby, and to see it all there is not great.
I have a fantastic question. Beginner's guide to interval runs, please. And the reason I say this question is because honest to the Lords, the My Coach app will teach you how to do interval runs because you can start with the 5K program where you literally start with walking, or you could do the marathon program. Like the scale that we have given you the ability to do on My Coach app for running and lifting, there's nothing else like it on the market. And when I say that, that is in all honesty, I'm not being biased, but we have nailed it. Do you know what I mean? So learning how to run intervals, I definitely just jump on a free trial on the app and add the 5K program. What was that?
That was the
signal to do it. Jump on the 5K program or maybe the 10K program, depending on your abilities, for free, and you will learn in that first week. If you want to continue, fucking fantastic. If you don't, well done for trying it. But yeah, 7-day free trial link below for My Coach. Honestly, that's all I can say because I think that is the best way to learn is by trying it for free, see how you feel about it. We have videos for everything, so it will explain to you what an interval run is anyway, and that's how you can program it.
Good question. What are your go-tos for going from bad mood to good mood as quickly as possible?
I've got a good one, haven't
Go
I?
On.
And this is something that I actually learned in therapy, and it's called the Happy Hormone Album. Now, I sometimes get really severe waves of anxiety. I had one on the Stairmaster this morning, actually, and I text Ben being like, I have just looked at Happy Hormone, and it's basically an album on my phone, and it has everything from 2018, and I scroll through, and it's my whole Happy Hormone list, and it's just all my best friends in there, all my happiest memories, the wedding, you've got Ben singing a Disney song. I will go on that, and you forget why you're in a bad mood because you're looking at life thinking, life's good. Life's really good. Create an album on your phone called The Happy Hormone. And when you have those moments, just go straight into that album. And I can guarantee to you that it will change your mood.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Meg doing that funny video. Like, do you know what I mean? It's just all very personal things.
Yeah. I agree. If you want to go from bad mood to good mood, what I'd say is look at the things that change your perspective immediately. Look at The Sims, for example. You've got The Sims. You usually have a green light above your head in The Sims when your character's in a good mood. If they're in a bad mood, they have a red light above their head. What are the things that you need to do when you're playing The Sims game to take you from the red to the green? Usually those thoughts will pop up into The Sims character's head and it's very similar to you. If you were to take that perspective and take a step back and look at yourself, what are the things that you know looking at someone else you would need to do to make them from a bad mood to a good mood? Because once you're in it, it's very difficult to conceptualize that and take a step back. Because when you're in that bad mood, sometimes you're an arsehole. And no one's born an arsehole. You're just born next to one. And if you're lucky, it's not your parents. But you're not always an arsehole. Just do the things that you know, the basics. Go to the toilet, take a shit, take a shower, read something, listen to music. What do you do on The Sims when you need to change the Sims mood?
I've never played.
Do that. I've been playing The Sims a lot recently. And it makes me think of when I'm in the ice bath. I'm in a shit mood. So go and sit in the ice bath. I'll come out with feeling better. I know when I go in the ice bath, that's like maybe the little red diamond above my head, get out of the ice bath. I'm doing however the Sims speak. That's me, like, in a good mood.
Yeah, I do think that. I think that Happy Hormone comes into that. That's just one of the things you can pluck immediately.
Long story short, take a step back and view yourself as a Sim.
Absolutely. I've never played Sims. Oh, I was never a
Carl,
gamer.
Have you played Sims?
I was more into like Roller Coaster Tycoon. That was my
oh, that was a fucking great game. Yeah. Roller Coaster Tycoon.
I was a Nintendo girl.
Nintendogs? Oh, yeah.
My dog is so RIP.
I like The Sims.
And Animal Crossing. Mario Kart. That was my genre.
Never into The Sims, though.
No,
Sims is good. It's almost like Big Brother, but you play
with... for yourself.
Yeah, and you can create yourself and do whatever you want. And also, if you really kind of, I don't know, an arsonist, a serial killer, you could lock people in rooms with a firearm with sofas and kill
strange.
Them all.
Surely it's changed.
I'm sure it's better than doing it in real life.
I loved Club Penguin.
Oh that? My God, how have we not spoken about this, Luce?
Club Penguin.
Me.
It's like me and Cal with Pit and Cantrop.
Puffles.
Puffles. Cal, this is awful. I was like 10. I had Club Penguin. And
No.
Club Penguin was like the it was Club Penguin. Like Club Penguin was Club Penguin. Like you were a penguin and you lived in Penguin World and you had Puffles as pets. Cal, wait for this story.
This is a game.
Yeah.
I
like a chat room as well.
Somebody did something to my Puffle and I thought, I'm not happy with that. 10-year-old me, I swore on the chat and I got banned from Club Penguin.
I bet that ruined your life.
Cal,
it's
the worst thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I'm just checking it.
It's the worst thing I've ever done in my life. I got banned off Club Penguin.
Was it like Habbo Hotel?
Yeah. Okay. Same vibe, but penguins.
I'm a Habbo Hotel. Remember that?
Yeah, I was more into Club Penguin. I must have been like 9.
It's one of the naughtiest things I've ever done in my life is swore on Club Penguin and got banned. Ruthless.
I had a girlfriend on Club Penguin for like an afternoon and then I went into another igloo and she was chatting to another penguin and I was fuming.
Is that the story
Club
of your
penguin.
Life,
Carl?
It was, yeah.
Oh my God,
formative
I
experience.
Do you know what? I might join. No, do you know what? I probably can't. I'm probably still banned from my MSN username. Oh my God.
What other games up to? One of my childhood games was Dynasty Warriors.
I don't know what
you
that is.
You wouldn't know what that is. Basically, you just...
Great game.
Do you remember, Carl?
Yeah.
You were like the ultimate virgin if you played that. It was like Japanese war heroes and you go around slaughtering thousands of souls. It was the most unrealistic thing ever. Apparently, new GTA is coming out. We're getting slightly off topic here, but yeah.
We are. Cal, hit us with another question.
We'll do one more.
Oh God. Okay, this one, controversial one. Last question.
Oh gosh.
Okay. With kids potentially in the near future, which popular baby names do you hate?
Oh, hate. You've named some that I don't like.
But I don't think...
I think it's usually people who you don't like, you don't want your kid to be named the same thing.
I would never name my kid Karen now.
Oh my God,
because
no.
That's actually awful what's happened to Karen. Yeah. Isn't it, actually,
I bought
to be
house
fair?
Off of Karen too,
my auntie's called Karen as well.
Yeah, and people are so nice and I hate it for them that it's now on social media, stop being a Karen. It's thinking... Why couldn't you stop being like...
Because they just picked a random name. It's nothing against people who are called Karen.
Yeah, but
Karen,
they could have been, stop being a cow, because nobody's called cow. Like, stop
that
being a cow.
That is fucking so just... That's a child. Don't be a cow. That's so childish.
Yeah, but
I do.
I think it's actually not a nice thing that's happened to the name
Karen.
What
else wouldn't you like your kids to be called?
I'm trying to think. Do you know what it is? It's name by association.
Yeah.
Okay, I've just Googled... Sorry to interrupt, Luce. Googled the worst baby names. There were 3 children born in the UK last year whose full name was Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what else
I
don't like? People who call the kid Beyonce.
Yeah. Is that?
I don't know if anyone's done that. I don't think that's a thing.
I'm sure someone's called
don't
the kid
think
Beyonce
that's a thing.
Or Rihanna. Do you know what I mean? It's popular pop names. It's just, oh God.
Wouldn't,
sorry for
I
the
think,
child.
I think Beyonce is probably like copyrighted her name.
No fucking way. Someone's definitely called. You can't call your kid. I remember actually the. So I won't mention names. Someone who called the kid King, and they got told they couldn't use that name after having the name for a while because it's a status, not a name.
Wow.
Well, Katie Price's little girl is called Princess. So how are they allowed to do that?
I don't know.
Maybe they're not allowed.
Maybe King and Queen's protected. I don't know.
What are your thoughts on calling your kid Junior? If your name's Ben, then you have little Ben Junior. What are your thoughts?
I'm not against. I wouldn't do it, but I'm not against it. Where does that? Is that a very traditional thing?
I think it's more of an American thing.
Yeah,
it'd be very strange in the UK.
Wouldn't it be in the UK? Would that be the equivalent of like Ben the Second?
I suppose. Yeah. It's a lot.
I don't really like the name. Oh, I don't know if I do.
It's tough because we might be slagging off someone's kid here.
Yeah, and that's I don't want to offend.
Yeah, but this is just your personal thing. You can't always sit on the fence about things. It doesn't mean that you hate the person who's called this name. You just
don't really like the name Mackenzie.
Yeah, Mackenzie to me is a naughty child. I don't know why. Yeah.
But I had a friend in primary school called Mackenzie and she was nasty. Yeah.
It's so all
I
about think I've got association.
Yeah. Like Lauren, bless her. So my best friend Loz, she listens to the podcast. So she looks after dogs, doggy daycare. And there's some naughty dogs who have got lovely names, but now she can't call her kid because they're naughty dogs.
It's always going to be that association, isn't it? Someone's a dick.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's actually a really hard one because...
There's definitely something I just can't think of.
I think Tyson is a bit of a rough name for a kid.
Tyson.
Probably going to be a not.
I mean, I would imagine that's become more popular just because of Tyson Fury.
Do you want to hear the top 10 most hated boys' names?
Go on. Let's go.
Jaden. Yeah. Brayden.
Yeah.
Aiden.
Wow, they're all in the same...
Caden. Hunter.
Oh, Hunter McIntyre, the sheriff.
Bentley. I can get a Bentley's. Yeah, I don't think Bentley's the one. Tristan. Jackson, which is, I'm offended by because I love the name
Jackson's
Jackson.
The best name. I just wouldn't call my kid that.
I just call
and,
it Jack.
Yeah. And Michael. Again.
Michael.
I'm not offended by
What's Michael.
Michael
done?
Yeah. Okay, so top 10 most hated girls' names. Sorry if this is your name. This is just facts. Navia.
Navia.
Oh, no, Nevea. It's heaven backwards. Awful.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah,
Nevea.
How do you say that, Cal?
Nevea.
Nevea.
Why?
I used to know a Nevea, not the best name.
Yeah, that's someone who just literally...
Heaven backwards. That's interesting. Yeah.
The thought process goes into Angel that. As well.
Oh. Destiny. Madison. I like Madison. Madison's nice. Mackenzie is on there.
A girl's name is Mackenzie.
I swear that's a boy's name.
Mackenzie's a girl's name.
You just said Mackenzie in the last one.
No, I didn't.
Mackenzie's definitely a boy's name. I mean, I suppose it's
Sorry, guys.
Mackenzie
comment.
Wasn't the guy from the solo crew, but that crew had 10 people in.
You need to comment if Mackenzie is a girl or a boy's name. I think it's a girl's name. Anyway, McKenna. Yes.
That's the last name.
Addison.
Yeah.
Gertrude.
Mm.
Caitlin. I like Caitlin. Michaela. That's quite cute. And Bertha.
Bertha, yeah. Bertha's
Big Bertha. That's not going to be
a fun you're always going to be Big Bertha,
aren't
you?
That's the association, isn't it?
Big Bertha.
So, yeah, it's really interesting because I was actually named after my sister, which is, you know, that's a little bit rough.
Well, the other one's brands.
What, like Nike? Oh,
yeah.
But Jim King. I don't know why, but that brand winds me up.
Yeah. Was someone's child called Jim King? No. Oh, sorry, I thought that was the route we were going down.
Oh, sorry, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, people call the kids brands. Yeah,
saying that, you've got a Cole Buxton hat on. Love the name Cole. Would absolutely call my kid Buxton. No, I wouldn't actually, because that's a water.
It's a bottle of water. Yeah.
And it's a place.
Buxton's not a place.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. And it's where the water gets its name from.
Where is Buxton?
You donut.
Where's Buxton? Is it in the UK?
I bet it's south near Bath.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, Buxton. No, I wouldn't. Buxton, yeah, no, you don't call. England. You don't call your child after a brand. Bentley.
Yeah, like Lacoste. Who's called, like...
I don't know if they are.
There will be someone.
There's no child called Lacoste.
Yeah, right? There fucking is.
God.
There definitely is.
Do you know what? Do you know what I'm really happy about? We've got very nice names. But I was named after my sister. My sister's name is Megan Lucy Davis. Here I am. Lucy Eliza Davis. No, I'm not. Lucy Eliza Halden.
Oh, maybe
you were named Lucy Eliza Davis.
Yeah. Should have called that kid who got caught out in Amsterdam Jorek, so she would have been protected about against
Corey
Hills.
No, Ben,
okay,
we can't.
Sorry.
I am going to end the podcast
just,
on that note.
Just quick. There was I just found a story. A football fan has paid the ultimate tribute to his favourite club by naming his daughter after it. The name is Ava Tony Ann.
Avertonian. Oh my gosh.
Triple barrel first name.
No. Wow.
Ava Tony Ann.
That's a lot.
Awful.
Wow. Sorry, also, I will end. It's like when Elon Musk called his child.
Yeah, what's that name?
Well, you can't. Well, he's got a new kid called Techno.
What?
Yeah, his newest baby. And his other kid called X.
X-A-E-A-X-I-I. Yeah.
I don't think you can do that. I don't think that's appropriate. Well, he refers to him just as X. But yeah, his newest kid is called Techno.
Techno Mechanicus Musk. Wow.
Yeah, Techno Mechanicus Musk, which sounds quite like a robot, but we are going to leave that conversation there of baby names.
It's even the Kanye West kids, North.
Northwest.
I like North.
No, Northwest.
I do like North.
Not into it.
No.
Chai. She's got a kid called Chai, I think. Stormy. That's Kylie's. I think they're all really cute names. But I am going to leave the podcast there because I'm going to take control, because now we're on the whirlwind of baby names.
Yeah, we are. We're getting
we're not actually going to tell you what we actually like as baby names, because one, I don't want people to steal them. And two, you can't even talk about pregnancy yet until you're pregnant, because I don't want to jinx it. Mm-hmm. Today's podcast was very random. And I think it was one of those ones as well where it's all been a very weird week for us. And I assume we will all walk away from the podcast in a slightly better mood than at the start. And I think it's all also just really nice to be quite transparent with you guys about it. And the fact that our week was a little bit rough. And if you had a rough week as well, don't feel like you're alone with it, because it happens to everyone. It happens to the best of us, doesn't it? And hopefully you had a little laugh with us today on our podcast. You probably learnt fuck all, because we didn't actually go into that much detail about
anything.
Sometimes,
though, the value is just in being entertained and having a good laugh, because being happy is simply the absence of unhappiness.
Yeah.
And you can't be unhappy if you're having a good smile on your face and a good giggle.
Yeah, absolutely. And as always, guys, thank you so much for listening, sharing, telling people about the podcast, tagging us on TikTok, Instagram, whatever it is. We appreciate you so much. And we do have a couple of incredible guests coming up in the next few weeks. So stay tuned and have a great rest of your day.
Bye, guys.
Bye.